Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email on Sunday afternoon. And don't forget to check out our blog, which is available, and we update every weekday. And you can come and get it at our website, or you can have it sent to you. And we'll even help you find the technology that'll do that. It's the Real Simple Syndication technology, and we have links to that available, and that's free as well. So check all that out in the archives. And by the way, folks, Tim Berry is our guest this half hour, and there's a body of work that Tim has deposited with us over the last more than 8 years, 8.5 years now, that Tim has deposited with us of everything you'd could ever want to know about business planning. And I encourage you to go back if you're doing your business plan, if you're thinking about business planning, if you're thinking about starting a business, you wonder why your business is not growing. Not only will you learn about business planning as Tim and I discuss this topic, but you'll also learn a lot about the fundamentals of running a business. And for that, Tim Berry, founder of Palo Alto Software and author of Hurdle, for all those things that you've given us over the years, we thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim.
And welcome back.
And it is shocking when we talk about how many years, but I can live with that.
Well, as long as we're still doing it, I can live with it, Tim.
We've had the opportunity to talk about some of these topics from time to time, and gosh, I think they're important.
I do, too. And one of the things I know you want to talk about today are projections. Now, one of the things you've taught us over the years, Tim, about business planning is that, and I believe I'm correct in saying this, that you really should start with the numbers and build a narrative around the numbers. What do you think?
In most cases, I think that's true. I know I've said that, and I like to stand with what I've said.
Well, I've said that too. I mean, I think
that's
right.
I mean, that's the way I've done business plans for years. The numbers help me put the structure, the frame, and the bones into a business plan. And the narrative is in my head, and it's not that the thinking starts with the numbers necessarily, but the actual pulling of thoughts out into the plan itself usually starts with the numbers.
Well, not that you can't write you can obviously go ahead and get your team structure down, your organizational chart down. You can get that down. You can identify the industry that you're in. You can go ahead and write down a few things. But the meat of what you're going to write down is going to be a narrative about what you're going to do in the marketplace. And what most of us do in the marketplace is generate sales and buy and sell stuff.
Which becomes the numbers, doesn't it?
Exactly. Now, which numbers in a business plan, there are two kinds of numbers. There are the kind of numbers that we already have, the history, and they're the kind of numbers that we believe we will have or we want to project to have. And that involves the projections. The numbers we have are pretty straightforward. The numbers we want to project, not so much. What do you think?
I think they actually come from two different dimensions. You're hitting there on this huge misunderstanding potentially between planning and accounting.
Mm-hmm. And when accounting is history.
Accounting, it's like, I like to think of the, there was a 1994 movie, Stargate, where they walk, science fiction movie, they walk through some strange sort of shimmery, shining border from
right.
One dimension into another.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the border point is the statements, because the collections that you'll do, the income statement, cash flow, and balance sheet in a business plan, look identical to what you see as the output of accounting.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an enormous difference because accounting starts today and goes backwards into the past in ever-increasing detail, whereas planning starts today and goes forward into the future in ever-increasing summary and aggregation.
Mm-hmm.
And those are huge.
And presumption.
Yes, yes.
Don't forget, you got to have the presumption in there.
Yeah, which is what leads to the summary and aggregation. A balance sheet for accounting needs to detail every single loan, every single asset. In planning, as you look forward, you do need to project what your assets will be roughly 2-3 years from now.
To the best of your ability.
You want to, but you have to realize that it's full of uncertainty, so you don't gain by pretending you know every asset. You won't.
And when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about how to qualify and how to think about these projections, how to build them, where to get help, and where you won't find any help. We're going to do that right after these messages with the world's business planning expert, Mr. Tim Berry, one of our longtime Brain Trust members and the president of Palo Alto Software. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Tim Berry. Tim is the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, the world's expert on business planning and the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, and a number of other properties and publications that he and his organization have developed over the years. And Tim, I know you like to tell them about bplans.com.
Yes, because bplans.com, which has been there for 11 years now, is a very powerful resource for somebody looking at business planning. Lots of sample plans, lots of tools, lots of questions answered, and all of it for free.
It's a free instructor site, folks. It'll really help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in the development of your business plan. And we always thank Tim for making that available. It's a very, very important site. And if you're doing any kind of small business searches around, you won't go very far without seeing a link to that site. It's very popular and very well regarded in the marketplace. Tim, we're talking about projections, and you made the point that the two elements of any business plan are the accounting, the history, what the company's already done, and the projections, what the company proposes to do. And one of the things I always like to say, Tim, is that every projection is based on some kind of assumption. And what I like to say is that assumptions are usually wrong, or at least often wrong, and projections are always wrong. Now, what I mean by that is when you're looking into the future and you're projecting sales of this much and you're projecting expenses of this much, there's nothing wrong with your projections being always wrong, because none of us are perfect at looking into the future.
And yet still vital.
Yeah.
I find myself using the phrase, business plans are always wrong, so that people understand that. And then they deal with the paradox that the plan is also vital, because without a plan, you don't have planning. And planning is what makes the plan vital, because planning is reviewing your progress step by step, mm-hmm. month by month, towards your goals. So the plan sets up what you expect to happen, but you know it won't. But having set down what you expect to happen makes it easier to track what actually did happen and to maintain focus on the long-term goals.
There's a great irony in the marketplace out there, Tim, that I wanted to land on for just a minute. And it has to do with CPAs, accountants. Folks, everybody who listens to my show knows what a high regard I have for CPAs. I have a number of them on my brain trust. I recommend everybody have a CPA. I always do. High regard for CPAs. However, it's ironic, Tim, to me, that the actual group that could do more to help small businesses with their business plan probably do the least to help small businesses with their business plan, especially with regard to projections. Accountants just are not comfortable in the future. They're only comfortable in the past, aren't they?
You know, and that's something I've come to deal with now through the years that I've been working on planning. Actually, one of my books that you and I don't mention much on the radio was about business planning for CPAs. And I've become comfortable with the fact that people who are so concerned with having the numbers right, because ultimately it heads towards tax reporting,
right,
are going to be freaked out about having to guess.
And that's the right way to say it.
Hate guessing.
They don't want any part of it. They don't just hate it. They don't want any part of it. I have known a few accountants who will do projections, but not many. They just don't like doing it.
Yeah,
it's not their fault really, Tim, because they live in it. I mean, they pay errors and emissions insurance.
And think of those two dimensions that I was talking about. They live, they're anchored, they're rooted in the dimension of accounting, which is tracking the past in ever-increasing detail.
Auditing.
It's a rare gift for an accountant who can jump into, hypothetically, how would things look if. That's just hard for...
So the reason I wanted to bring that up is because you need to make sure that you know how to use your accountant when you're putting your business plan together. They're going to be invaluable for the history part, but you're probably not going to get a lot of help from them on the future part.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And it's also a note that many people fear the putting down of uncertainty, projections. People fear that. How am I going to know today, August 28th of 2006, what's going to be happening next April and May? So it's our job to help people realize that it's not a straitjacket. You're not supposed to be running into a brick wall that you make the mistake in April of next year that your plan says you're supposed to make if you discover it's a mistake. It's setting it down to help you to keep track of where you thought you were going so you keep the eye on that long-term goal. And the gain of having put down what you're going to be doing next April is that in February or March you can review that and see if it's changed, why it might have changed, and how you're going to slightly correct that so that the plan isn't a straitjacket and you shouldn't be afraid of projecting the future.
And another thing, folks, and we're going to a break here. When we come back, I'm going to get Tim to talk about this. One of the ways that even if you're uncomfortable with projections, which I can understand that, and certainly your bankers get a little freaked out by projections too if you're asking them to buy into your dream. But there's a way you can handle that so everybody is happy. Believe it or not, we can make everybody happy here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Tim Berry is going to help us with that, and we'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. Here's Chicago to take us out. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software, the makers of Business Plan Pro, and as you know, in the interest of full disclosure, Palo Alto Software has been a longtime supporter of all the things that we do. Tim's been a longtime supporter of me and our show, but Palo Alto Software has been a great sponsor of ours over the years, and for that, again, Tim, we thank you.
And glad and proud of it, too.
Well, I appreciate that. Tim, and by the way, folks, don't forget the business plan website that Tim always likes to give, bplans.com. But you've also got a very, very valuable site, timberry.com.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, timberry.com is where I put my own articles and some multimedia on business planning. Still the same topics, business planning and starting your business.
Try both of those out, folks, and nobody's going to put the arm on you to buy any stuff, although they will sell you something if you want it. Tim, we were talking as we went to the break about how to not freak out your banker, how to get them how to get yourself a little more comfortable with your own projections, how to get your banker to buy into your vision. If you show up with your banker or to an investor with some numbers that are just that you believe you can make happen. You really do believe that, but you show up with those numbers and you don't have any alternatives, the chances of finding a banker or an investor or whoever to buy into your dream with those numbers are not really all that high. It's pretty low percentage. So
yeah, that's right.
So Tim, there's a way to fix that, isn't there?
And you've got the answer.
Well, the conservative figure, the break even figure. That's what I always think. Is come at them with two of them. Come up, you know, do the projections, you know, okay, I think I can grow at 150% the first year and 50% the next year and 25% the third year. And you know, those are pretty strong numbers. And somebody's going to say, you know, what if you don't do that? Well, I think you need to have a conservative number. You know what? I've already thought about that. And if and here is the projections. If I don't do anywhere near what I thought I was going to do, but I just break even, here's all I have to do.
And here's how I can service the loan that I'm applying for and make sure the interest gets paid, even if this great scenario doesn't come through. But we managed to do this, which is much more believable and much more realistic.
And what that does is immediately brings the blood pressure of your banker or your investor down, doesn't it? That's
it
the first
does.
Thing.
And in this context, too, it's also a reminder of the power of working with the accountant for doing the plan. Even though we've talked about how accountants are uncomfortable with projections, the best projections are rooted in past results.
Yep.
And your recent past shows that your foreseeable future is more realistic. Here's what we've done also makes a banker very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Go back 3 years and go forward 3 years or whatever, and you've got a story to tell. If your past numbers don't look great, this is why it happened, and this is what we're going to do to make the next 3 years not turn out like the last 3 years.
Ironically, one of the times when bankers are most comfortable with projections is when an existing company with a good track record goes into the bank ahead of needing a loan and says, we're going to need a bridge loan because we're coming out with a new version, or for whatever reason, we're going to expand, and for that expansion, we're going to need more financing. And here's our plan. And then suddenly the bank is interested. We're going to expand, and here's our plan. Look at our projections, and
wait for
that
my call.
Sounds good.
And wait for my call. There are a few things make you feel better, Tim, than when you go to ask your banker for the money when you've already been there and said, here's what I'm working on. Sometime in the next few months, I'm going to be calling you back and getting your, you know, get you to help me with this. But I wanted you to have an idea ahead of time. There's nothing that makes you feel more, in my opinion, more professional than to go ask for the money when the banker already knew you were coming.
Yes. Yeah, night and day difference. And that happens. It's funny because growth is one of the most important reasons for planning. And the choice in some cases is running to the bank, oh my God, we've been growing, we're going to miss payroll on Tuesday because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes bankers very nervous, but to go in March and say, we're going to have this expansion over the next 6 months, so we're going to need the bridge loan,
right?
That makes the bank feel much better.
A lot, makes you look a lot more professional. Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, thank you, Jim. Always happy to be.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, could not do without him. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.